Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Nun Aleph, 5 lines from the top. The Gemara opens up with an incident involving Rabbo and Rav Yosef that were traveling together, and there was the need to establish a Mokom Shvisa before the onset of Shabbos. Rabbo Rav Yosef, Havu Ka'azli Be'urcha, they were on the road. Omar Le Rabbo the Rav Yosef. Rabbo says to Rav Yosef, Tehei Shvisosenu Tusi Diklo Desovil Achva. Let our Shabbos location be under the palm tree, that's a Diklo, that Desovil Achva means it supports another tree. You can see a illustration of this in the Pirush Chai, illustration 47. The Amri Law, another version of what Rabbo said, was Tusi Dikla Deporik More Mi Karga. Let us be located under the palm tree that redeems its master from taxes. Which Rashi says that the tree produced a lot of fruit that he was able to sell, and with the proceeds or the income from those fruits, he was able to pay his taxes. For our purposes, it's a reference to a specific tree. Omar Le, Rav Yosef says, Lo Yodana Le, I don't recognize that tree. Omar Le, Smoch Alai, Rabbo says, you can rely on me. In other words, by my identifying a location that shall serve as our Mokom Shviso, as our Shabbos location, my identification of it will hold well for you also. Desanya, the Brisa that is now quoted, is to show this point. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, now just note the fact that we dashed underline Rabbi Yossi's name, we're going to want to refer to this point later. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Im Hoyu Shnayim, if there were two people, Echod Makir Vechod Sheno Makir, this is a quote from the previous Omidaf, Nun Omid Beis. We have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the text. You can parallel this with a similar arrow back on Nun Omid Beis, and we'll see where this is from. So if you have two people, and one recognizes a particular point on further on in their journey, the Echod She'eno Makir, and someone that doesn't, and they're walking together, Ze She'eno Makir, Moiser Shvisoso Lamakir, the one who doesn't recognize, will give over the rights to establish their Shabbos location, their Mokom Shvisa, to the one that does recognize and can identify a particular point. And he will say, I am going to rely on you. Ze She'makir Omer, Tei Shvisosenu B'Mokom Ploni. And the one that does recognize a particular point says that let our Shabbos location be at that such and such a place. The Gemara now points out a detail that's interesting, and that is velohi, that is not so. That's a reference to the name Rabbi Yossi in this brisa. Lo tana le ki Rabbi Yossi eloki hechi delikbil lo minei. This information was not actually authored by Rav Yossi. Rabbo said to Rav Yosef that Rav Yossi says thus and thus. In other words, he I don't know if you want to use the expression forged forged Rav Yossi's name onto this source, but he cited the source as if it were taught by Rav Yossi, so that Rav Yosef, who was walking along with Rabbo, would accept it, because the Rav Yossi in general was the was very authoritative. And we actually learned about this a few dapim ago in the sugya that dealt with the rules of psak, that when Rabbi Yehuda would argue with Rabbi Yossi, we will paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And all the more so if Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Shimon were arguing with Rabbi Yossi, we'll paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara points out over here, Mishum de Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi had an exceptionally straight way of thinking. And as a result of that, he carries the day in Psak Halacha. So Rabbah said this point to Rabbi Yosef, who was walking along with him, that one who doesn't recognize can be Moiser Shvisasa to the one that does recognize. And he said that in the name of Rabbi Yossi, so that Rabbi Yosef would accept it. We look at the side of the Gemara, where we have our nosei, our topic heading, under which we've written, Me'efo nilmad shiur alpayim amo l'tchum Shabbos. From where do we learn that the Tchum Shabbos measures 2,000 amos? The Gemara. We said in the Mishnah, Eino makir o she'eino boki v'chule, and it went on in the Mishnah to say, Zochalo mekomo alpayim amo, that if a person establishes his Shabbos location to be where he is, so he has, in addition to 4 amos that are around him, he also has 2,000 amos all around. Hani alpayim amo hechon ksivon. Where in the Torah is there a reference to the 2,000 amos? Disanya. The posuk says, Shvu ish tachtov elu arba amos. The posuk in Shmos, Perek Tezayin, says that a person shall stay where he is. That's a reference to 4 amos, and this posuk is in the context of the mon and Shabbos. And it says, Al yetzi ish mimukomo elu alpayim amo. Minolon. Where do we learn by the fact that the posuk says, Al yetzi ish mimukomo, that a person shall not leave his place, that is in fact 2,000 amos? Because in the posuk itself you don't see 2,000 amos. All it says is Al yetzi ish mimukomo. So how do you know from that it's 2,000 amos? Omer Rav Chisda tells us, Lomadnu, we learn a gezeira shava, a word comparison. However, this is a very long string of words that are associated with one another. In effect, there's a string of psukim, and Rashi gets into detail, quotes all of the psukim to form this chain of word comparisons, but eventually we will be linking up the posuk we just read of Al Yetzi Ish Mimakomo from the word Makomo through a chain of word comparisons. We will eventually get to 2,000 amos that's referred to in a posuk dealing with the Ore Halavim, the Levite cities, which were cities that were granted to the Levium. The Levium, who did not inherit actual tribal areas in the land of Israel like the other tribes did. They, however, were assigned cities, and these Levite cities had an area around them which the Torah explicitly says was 2,000 amos. So from this chain of word comparisons, we get to the point that we're looking for, a source for 2,000 amos. So without getting into all of the detail that you can find in the Rashi, let's go on in the Gemara. So Rav Chisda says, we lomadnu mokom mimokom, umokom minisa, venisa minisa, venisa migvul, ugvul migvul, ugvul michutz, vechutz michutz. And in the final chain of these psukim that are compared one to the other, we come to the posuk dechtiv that says, umadoisa michutz liires pas kedma, alpayim amo v'chulei. So in this pasuk, you have the word chutz, and you also have the word alpayim. So by virtue of the chain that of psukim that preceded this, we end up linking the alpayim amo in this pasuk to the pasuk that originally read al yetzi ish mimakoymoi. The Gemara asks, v'neilif mi kir ho'ir v'chutza Elef Amo, there is another pasuk that makes reference to a belt around the city of 1,000 Amos. And in this pasuk you have the word Chutzah, which would seemingly fit into the link of the chain of words that were linked one to the other. And the last link in the chain was Chutz Michutz. So that in the pasuk we had most that had the Alpayim Amo, you had the word Chutz, but here's an alternative pasuk that has the word Chutz in it, resulting in only 1,000 Amos. So the Gemara says, Donin Chutz Michutz, Vein Donin Chutz Michutza. In the linkage of words, the second to last pasuk had the word Chutz in it. The last pasuk had the word, which had the word Alpayim Amo in it, also had exactly the same word, Chutz. The suggested replacement link, final pasuk, had the word Chutzah. Notice, Chutzah is slightly different than the word Chutz. And therefore, we are not going to use that as part of the Gezeirah Shavah link of Psukim. The Gemara asks, Umay nafka mina? What difference does it make if the word is exactly the same or not exactly the same? Ha tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. We have a Tanaic source that's short. Rashi elaborates on this source in great detail. We are not going to get into the detail. All we're going to say is that this source makes reference to two psukim in the context of nige botim. This is a case of tzoras that affects houses. And in the procedure of dealing with houses that are afflicted by tzoras, a kohen visits the house to inspect the discoloration that constitutes the tzoras, and the psukim describe the kohen coming after 1 week, after 2 weeks, and the respective procedures. So in that context, it says hotona debei Rabbi Shmuel v'shov hakohen ubo hakohen. We learn the information that is featured in one of these psukim and transfer the information to the other pasuk. And we say zuhi shiva, zuhi bia. Both of these are referring to the kohen visitation. Now, by what basis are we comparing these two psukim? The words are different. One says vishav and the other one says uba. But that is the point. We will compare information. We will compare psukim, even if the words are not exactly the same. Here the words are completely different, and yet since the meaning of them is the same, the idea of the kohen coming to visit is the common theme, we have a right to compare. All the more so if it's an issue of comparing the word chutz to the word chutzah. So on what grounds do you reject the suggestion of the 1,000 amo from the Pasuk of Mikiru Yervachutza Elef Amo, and rather opt to have 2,000 Amos as the Pasuk in the final list of chain of Psukim? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is it that we say that we don't care about exact words? Hechodeleko Midi de Domile. That's when you don't have any other words that are exactly the same. In other words, in the case of the Metzora, so all that was written was Vishav HaKohen, and you have Ubo HaKohen. It's not as if there's another Pasuk that also says Vishav HaKohen. Avohecho de'iko midi de'domile, but where you have a Gezeirah Shavah to make, and my choice is to compare a given Pasuk to a word that's to another Pasuk where it has the exact same word, as opposed to a third pasuk where there is a word that's similar, mi domi le yalfinon. We would rather learn the word comparison from exact same words. So in our example of the chain of psukim, the second to last pasuk had the word chutz in it. The pasuk was cited by Rashi, where it had said Umotza Oisu Gel Hadam Michutz Ligvul, and since the word Chutz appeared in that pasuk, the final pasuk in the chain, also umadoisem michutz lo'ir, the pasuk that had 2,000 amas in it, had the word chutz in an exact same form as the previous pasuk, which had the word chutz. The Mishnah made reference to alpayim amo agulos, and it went on to say divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus v'chachomim omrim merubois. The Gemara asks, for Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, who learned that the 2,000 amas is measured in a circle, meaning the where a person is located, you draw from him a radius of 2,000 amas, and all around him in a circular form, with the person being in the center, there's a distance of 2,000 amas. The Gemara asks, regarding that shita, which was brought by Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, the Gemara asks, Monafshach, either way you look at things, E is le gezerah shava, if he accepts the gezerah shava that we had just a few lines up, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you can align this with the previous arrow. If he holds from the gezerah shava that we referred to before, peos ksivon, in reference to the 2,000 amos, the pasuk said pa'as kema. The word pa'as has to do with a corner. A geometric form that has a corner to it is a square, as opposed to a circle. A circle that Rabbi Chanina was speaking about doesn't have a corner to it. So, if you hold from the gzera shava, then you're dealing with a person in the middle of a square. That would mean that from the where the person is, you would measure a distance of 2,000 amas in all directions, forming a square. When you form a square, though, from where the person is to the corner of the square, you'll end up having more than 2,000 amas, because you're dealing with a square whose from center to side measures 2,000 amas. The diagonal to the corner is going to be more. E less le gezerah shava. If Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus doesn't hold from the gezerah shava, alpayim amo mino le, then where will he discover the amount of 2,000 amas in the first place? The Gemara answers: Li olam is le gezerah shava. He does hold from the gezerah shava. V'shaini hacha, and here it is different. The posuk that featured the peos of the Orei Halavim, the Omar Kro, Ze Ye Lohem Migushe Heorim. Lozeata Noisein Peos, Viata Noisein Peos, Lishoiv Se Shabbos. The concept of a corner is granted only in the case of Levite cities, and it's not granted to the case of Shov Se Shabbos. The Shov Se Shabbos obviously is a reference to our issue of creating the area of the Tchum on for Shabbos laws. The Rabbonon, what do they learn from the word Zeh? After all, the Rabbonon in the Mishnah said that the Shabbos Tum does include the corner. In other words, a square is formed of 2,000 amas, resulting in a corner which is actually longer. So what did the Rabbonon learn from that? Toni Rav Chananya Omer, Kozeh Yu Kol Shovsei Shabbos, that from the word Zeh in the context of the Orei Levim, we are to understand, like this shall be all the laws concerning Shvisas Shabbos, including the laws of Tum. So that when a person measures the area around him of 2,000 amos, if he wants to walk in toward the corner, so to speak, of that square formed, he in effect would be walking more than 2,000 amos. Omer of Acho Bar Yankiv, Hamavir Dalin Amos Yisurabim, one who carries 4 amos in a public domain, Eino Chayav Ad Shemavir Hein V'Alach Sonon. He is not going to be in violation of this Moloch of 4 amos in Yisurabim until he carries the distance of the diagonal formed by a square whose measurements are 4 amos. So that if you have a square, when we speak about a this malocha of Mavir Dal Am Shrabim, you're really supposed to envision a square measuring 4 by 4 amos, and then you measure the diagonal of that square, which actually comes out to 5 and 2/5 amo, and that is the distance that one would have to carry in Rishus HaRabim before he would be considered guilty of Mavir Dal Amos Rishus HaRabim. Omar Rav Papa, Bodik Lon Rava. Rava tested us out. Omid Bushus Rabbin, Voasor Varochov Dalit, Tzorach Hein Valachsonon Oloi. An omud is a pole or a pillar that's in the Rishus Rabbin that happens to measure 10 tvachim of height and has a width of 4 tvachim, 10 tvachim height with 4 tvachim. When we speak about the width of 4 tvachim, are we talking about a pillar that is square shaped? That's Hein Valach Sonon, namely a square that measures 4 by 4, giving it a diagonal of more than that. Olo, or possibly even a circular pillar that measures 10 tfachim of height with a diameter of 4 tfachim. And this idea of an omud b'shus rabim gva sora v'rochav dalid is taught in the context of establishing what is considered a rishus hayochid. And the nafka mina would be, if I take something from a rishus rabim and place it on top of this pillar. If you say, for example, that it has to be a pillar that is actually square with sides 4x4, and only then it is a Rishus Hayochid, that would then mean that if something is a pillar of 10 tfachim but has is circular, that or cylindrical, it's circular on the top, having a simple diameter of 4 tvachim, that would not be a Rishus Hayochid, and he wouldn't be Chayev if he took something from Rishus HaRabim and placed it on top of such a pole. Once again, if you insist that the pole, in order to be a Rishus Hayochid, would have to be a square measuring sides 4x4. That was what Rav Papa said was Rava's question, his test. V'amrinon lei, and we, says Rav Papa, answered him, Lav hainu de Rav Hananya, is this not the same as what Rav Hananya taught? Desanya, and this is a quote from what we saw just 4 lines up from here. Rav Hananya omer, kozeyu kol shovse Shabbos. That the concept of a square-shaped area applies to all shovse Shabbos, that it has to be square. All rules concerning Shabbos, including the establishment of what a minimum Rishus Hayochid is. So from this we would learn that this too would have to be square shaped. Vezehu she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov. Omer Rabbi Meir, onu ein lonu elo oni v'chulei. Before we get into this sugya, this is a rather lengthy and detailed discussion that will follow. On the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we indicate that this goes till Nun Beis Omer Aleph. Before discussing the structure, some points that we've noted under our topic heading. Point number one, Iker Takonas Eruv, the basic or original establishment of what constitutes an Eruv. And we're talking, of course, about Eruv Tchumin. Boregel or Bepas? Is it by physically being in that spot, or is it by placing bread at that spot, or food? He'ora, Eruv Boregel, Mischalek Le'er. When we talk about Eruv Boregel, there are 2 examples of that, of different levels of significance. One is Shvisosi B'Mekomi. This is a case where a person, without the use of any food, he simply declares that the Mokom Shvisa is where I am. He says, where I am, I want this to be my Shabbos location, thereby having 2,000 amos in all directions of where he is right now. Another example of a non-pas, a non-food eruv tchumin, would be shvisasi b'mokom ploni, where a person, by simple words, establishes his Shabbos location by identifying a specific place somewhere further down the road. Another issue, mosai mo'il amiras shvisasi b'mokomi versus shvisasi b'mokom ploni. You can see there is a difference between the two. We might as well say that in halachic terms, it's easier to establish a mokom shvisa by saying where I am right now shall be my mokom shvisa. That's by virtue of the fact that you are right here. You're there. You are at the point physically where you want your mokom shvisa to be. However, there's another possibility, and we have to establish when will this work, and that's where a person announces shvisasi b'mokom ploni, identifying by mere words his mokom shvisa somewhere further along. He's not physically there. Mind you, he's not using food, and he's not physically there. Just by words alone, he is establishing his mokom shvisa. The question will be, when can that be done? In the Gemara, by way of structure, so we have our mivne heading, the structural note. Diamonds are used. We have Rav Nachman, and we go continue on to Amud Beis, the upper quarter of the page. You'll see Rav Chisda also in a diamond. Diamond is split between two lines there, but you can see Rav Chisda. We have a number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, as we have over here a number 1. So we've noted under our Mivneh heading, Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, Cholkim, there is a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, behesper machlokes atanoyim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda. How to understand the earlier machlokes tanoyim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. Ubosis ha-machlokes, who, the foundation of the machlokes, will involve I amrinon. Do you say, like Rav Chisda, the Cholkim b'mau iku eruv? If you follow Rav Chisda's approach, then there will be a machlokes between the Tanoim as what constitutes the iku eruv. Oy Rav Nachman, the ledivrei hakol iku eruv b'regel. Mirtz Hashem, we will see these points as we go on in the Gemara. Just to go over this again, just to correct a detail by way of the names, do you say, like Rav Nachman, who claims that the Machlokes Tanoim is the Iker Eruv, what is the Iker Eruv? Is it Beregel or Bepas? Or, like Rav Chisda that says, Divrei HaKol, Iker Eruv Beregel. Another marking that we use in this Gemara is the double underline where we highlight the expression Bimakomi or Bimokom Ploni. Let us start the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Machlokes b'mekomi. That means the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, as we saw in the Mishnah. We didn't read the Dibur Masel of the Gemara, so if we just back up for one line, let's read it. It said there, V'zehu she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov. That's an expression in the Mishnah, and it's not 100% clear. Amar Rabbi Meir, Onu ein lonu elo oni. Rabbi Meir said that as far as we are concerned, it applies only to an oni. An oni, generally speaking, is translated as a poor man, but in our discussion, we pointed this out in a previous shiur, that oni is really a reference to a person on the road, as opposed to a person coming from his house. Person on the road is not expected to have food with him, or not expected to have extra or a lot of food, As opposed to a person coming from his house, there he is expected to have food. And therefore, he's called an oshir. So you can have a wealthy man on the road, he'll be called an oni, and a poor man coming from his house, and he will be called an oshir. So as we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said, Onu ein lanu ela oni, and Rabbi Yehuda said, Echad oni ve'echad oshir. Rabbi Yehuda equated oni to oshir, and Rabbi Meir does not. So there's a machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Do you say that the oni is a category unto himself, or do we say we equate the oni with the oshir? Omar Rav Nachman, we're at the bottom line of the Gemara, machlokis b'makomi. The machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, as we just explained, is in the case of a person saying, I want my shvisa to be where I am. The Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir, who was of the opinion that something applies only to an oni, he holds Iker Eruv Bepas. The Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the primary form of Eruv is using bread. And oni hu, we're at the top of Omid Beis, oni hu da'akilu rabbonon iluya. The oni is the person who is on the road, and he doesn't have bread. So it's with regard to the oni that we have a leniency to establish an Eruv even without food by saying, Shvisasi b'makomi, that I want my shvisa to be where I am physically located. Avol oshir lo. But an oshir, someone who is in his house, will not be able to make an eruv without bread. Rashi on the third line from the top says, Avol oshir kigon yoshev b'beso, lo zu velo zu, not b'makomi and not b'mokom ploni. The Gemara continues, V'Rebbe Yehuda Savar Iker Eruv Beregel. The primary form of making an Eruv Tchumin is actually Beregel, which means without the food. Therefore, it would be mutter for an Oshir also to say Shvisasi B'Makomi. An example of that would be, since we're talking about an Oshir, it really is a reference to someone who's in his house. But if you can imagine the person in his house wants to establish, let's say, an Eruv to go not just 2,000 Amos beyond his home, but an additional 2,000 Amos, so they can walk 4,000 Amos in one direction from his home. He could go to the 2,000 Amma mark, sit there, and wait for Shabbos to set in, and say, Shvisasi b'makomi. He could say right before Shabbos sets in that this is my Shabbos location. And then he goes back home, and next in Shabbos day, he walks from his house 4,000 Amos in that direction. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, even an Oshir can say, Shvisasi b'makomi. Avol b'mokom ploini, divrei kol oni in Oshir lo. But to be at one location and say verbally, I want my Shvisa to be at some other location, somewhere down the road, that ability rests only with a real traveler, an oni. But an oshir, someone coming from his house, let's say for a person to sit in his house and say that I want my shvisa to be in Mokom Ploni, that will not work. That's like going too far. If we just skip for a moment till the next diamond. Rav Chisda Omar, notice, we're doing this skip just to show the contrast. Rav Chisda Omar, machloikis b'mokim ploni. In the case of mokim ploni, you have the machloikis tanoim. Notice the double underline here, mokim ploni, and find the previous double underline under mokim ploni, namely Rav Nachman's version of mokim ploni. Rav Nachman said, in the case of this verbal establishment of a location further down the road, Rav Nachman said all Tanoim agree that that is beneficial only for the traveler. Rav Chisa says on the same case of Mokum Ploni, this is not something all agree. This is a machloikis. Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. What about Rav Chisda's version of Bimakomi, where a person establishes Erev based on where he is physically located at the time Shabbos sets in? Rav Chisda claims, Divrei HaKol, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Meir will agree, Echod Oni VeEchod Oshir. Now, just once again doing the same exercise, what was said before about Bimakomi? You might not find it so easily because you have to go back to Omid Aleph. If you go to the bottom of Omid Aleph, regarding Makomi, Rav Nachman said, Machlekes. What does Rav Chisda say about Bimakomi? Divrei HaKol. Everyone is in agreement. So, what we tried to do just now is to show the difference between Rav Chisda and Rav Nachman's respective approaches to the Machlokes Tanoim. Going back to the section that we skipped over, a word of introduction to what we're going to see in the Gemara. First of all, in the Gemara you see triangles with numbers, little triangles with numbers in them. This is a reference to the Mishnah, different parts of the Mishnah. So we have provided for your convenience a concise version or relevant quotes from the Mishnah that we've included in the upper corner of this Omid Gemara. And the Gemara here will be figuring out the different quotes from the Mishnah, who said them, who said what when it comes to the Mishnah. So that if we look at under our Mivneh heading, we see a triangle is featured. Tachas kol amora yesh sholosh sheilois al mivneh hamishna. Under each amora, we start off with Rav Nachman, and shortly we'll get to Rav Chisda. You'll see under each one there follow these three triangles, numbers 1 through 3. And the focus of the Gemara is trying to figure out the structure of the Mishnah. Kigon, man, kotoni. This is a kind of question we'll see. Who said this? Who said the different quotes from the Mishnah? The Gemara will want to know who said them. And the choice will be between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Another question that will be dealt with is v'hecha koi, meaning what is a particular quote of the Mishnah going on. Right, this will become clearer as we go into the Gemara. You might want to keep one finger, so to speak, on the quote from the Mishnah that is relevant to this Gemara. And I'm referring to that which we supplied in the upper corner of the Omid. So as we go on in the Gemara, we're picking up four lines from the top of the Gemara, where it's a triangle number 1. Vizu hi she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov. As you can see, we wrote in the continuation words, and if you look on the up in the upper corner of the Gemara, you can also see this quote. So this quote of Vizu hi she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov, which implies that this is not the main Erev. The main form of Erev is using bread. So according to Rav Nachman, who would say that Eruv Baraglov is not the main thing? So man kotoni lo, who would say that? Answer, Rabbi Meir. It would be Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir, who holds that the Iker Eruv is Bepas. Now, you can easily see this by going back to the bottom of Omid Aleph, where Rabbi Meir said Iker Eruv Bepas. You can see that clearly in the text. So the expression of the mission Vezuhi Shomru HaOni Ma'ariv Raglov, a seeming concession to the Oni, but in general the Eruv would be Bepas. So who says that the Iker Eruv is Bepas? Man Kotoni Law. Answer, Rebbe Meir. And as far as seeing each one of these points, you just refer back to the marked sections of Gemara and you can see that it was Rebbe Meir. The ahe koi, when you say that this is the ikur form of eruv, is oni ma'ariv baraglov, what is that going on? What part of the Mishnah is that referring to? Answer, a'eno makir oi she'eno boki b'halacha. Someone who doesn't know a particular location further on, or he's not an expert in halacha, and as a result of that, he says, Shvisosi bimakomi. This is the case where he will not be using bread and establish his eruv by this verbal means. So when the Mishnah declares that the Oni is the one who is able to make an Eruv without bread, that's going on the case of Eino Makir Osheino Boki Bahalocha. So just to go over the last point the Gemara was making, the phrase Vezuhi Sha'omru, that an Oni can make an Eruv Baraglov, which is mashma that's not the Iker, but the Iker is Pas, we said that would have been a statement appropriate for Rebbe Meir to make. And what case is that going on? So the Gemara explained that's going on someone who doesn't know, can't identify some place further down on the road, or he is not knowledgeable in halacha, that he's not aware that he could have designated some other place, and as a result of his being Eino Makir or Eino Boki, so he says, Shvisosi b'mekoimi, which we refer to that before as Oni Ma'arev Baraglov. Point number three, Velo Omru Ma'arvin Bepas Elo Lahokel. This phrase of the Mishnah implies that the Iker Eruv is Beregel. So man kotoni lo, who would say that the Iker Eruv is Beregel? Rebbe Yehuda. As far as Rav Nachman is concerned, that is only the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, that the Iker Eruv is Beregel. Rav Chista Omar, now we turn to Rav Chista's approach in his moderating the Machlokes Tanoim. He says, Machlokes b'mokim ploni. The Machlokes Rebbe Meir, who limited something to an oni, and Rebbe Yehuda says anyone can use it, that's a case of someone who says, Shvisasi b'mokim ploni, he is in one location, they identify something further down the road as saying that this will be his mokim shvisa. So that's a Machlokes. The Rebbe Meir sover oni in the Oshilo. In the case of Shvisasi b'mokim ploni, only Rebbe Meir says that would work, and Oshir would not be able to benefit from it. For Rebbe Yehuda, Savar Echod Oni VeEchod Oshir, whether it's a person on the road, which the word Oni implies, or it's an Oshir, someone coming from his house, these people can say Shvisasi v'Mokom Ploni. Avo b'Mekomi, when it comes to that taking effect, Divrei Hakol, even Rebbe Meir, Echod Oni VeEchod Oshir. Whether it's an Oni or an Oshir, the Iker Eruv Beregel, the main type of Eruv is Beregel. And therefore, if you're saying B'makomi without using bread, that's an example of Shvisa Beregel, and this is in accordance with all opinions. What the Gemara now does is takes the three same phrases of our Mishnah and analyzes them in light of what we just learned. Vizu hi Shamru. That phrase of the Mishnah, which was which said Oni Ma'ariv Raglov, and it's which is mashma that it's not the main type of eruv. Man Kotoni Lo, who would author that? Answer: Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir would say that the eruv Baraglov is not the Iker eruv. Ve'ahe koi, what is it referring to? Aha, it's referring to the following: Mi shebo baderech v'chosh cholo, someone who was on the road, and Shabbos was about to set in, and he recognized a tree at some distance. That would be the case of Shvisosi v'mokom ploni. So the just to go over the structure of the Mishnah which had said Zu hi she'omru that oni ma'ariv baraglov, which implies that that's not the ikur way of doing things, that is going on the case of someone who was Boba Derech and Shabbos was about to set in. V'lo omru ma'arvin b'pas elo lahokel. This is also a quote from the Mishnah, that the concept of making an Eruv through Pas was simply a leniency. That's mashma that the Iker Eruv is Beregel, Man Kotonila, who would say that answer, Divrei Hakol. According to Rav Chisda, everyone, that means Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, agree that the Iker Eruv is Beregel. At this point in the Gemara, we see a long Tanaic source that's brought in as a support to Rav Nachman's approach. At this point, the Gemara brings a Tanaic source, a Braisa, that supports Rav Nachman's approach. Before we learn the Braisa, let's just glance at the side, upper side of our Gemara, where we have a chart, and we have a note, He'oros l'tavlu, we're in the upper corner of the page. Oni is someone that's mi shebaderech, and Oshir mi sheyoshev b'beiso. Rabbi Meir machmir yoyser mi'rihuda. Another point is Yoyser kal lahatir b'makoimi mimokom ploni. It's easier to allow the establishment of an eruv by a declaration of I want makomi to be the shvisa, where I physically am located, as opposed to an oral declaration of some point further down the road. So under the under Rav Nachman, or next to Rav Nachman, you can see on the right-hand side of this chart, you have Rav Nachman, and under that, Rav Chisda, what each one says about the cases of Makomi or Mokom Ploni. So Rav Nachman says, in the case of Makomi, Rav Nachman's version of Rabbi Meir is only for an Oni, is that Mutter? But Rabbi Huda would say that Makomi is useful also for an Oshir, where a person would leave his house, go to a place 2,000 amas outside of house, sit there, and wait for Shabbos to enter. That would be legitimate. The case of Mokom Ploni, according to Rav Nachman, Divrei Kol Rak Oni. Divrei Kol meaning everyone, even Rabbi Huda would say that that is effective only for an Oni. Also noteworthy is what we have under our He'oros, L'Rav Nachman Alibud Rabbi Meir, Oshir Osir Bakol. If you focus on Rabbi Meir as Rav Nachman presents things, the Oshir cannot use Makomi, and certainly not Mokom Ploni. On the other hand, we have Rav Chisda. He says that when it comes to Makomi, Divrei Hakol Gam LaOshir Mutter. Even Rabbi Meir, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, will allow Makomi for an Oshir, as well, of course, as the Oni. And when it comes to Mokom Ploni, that is a machlokes. You can see that Rav Chisda increases in the direction of leniency by one stage. And under the Heoros, we have the Rav Chisto, Aliva de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's version, according to Rav Chisto's presentation, Oshiv Oni Shavim Umutorin Bakol. With that in mind, we continue in the Gemara with a source, a brisa, as we said earlier, that supports Rav Nachman, his approach. And in a general way of looking at things, Rav Nachman is more restrictive than Rav Chisda. So let's see the source. Echad oni ve'echad oshir, me'arvin bepas. Everyone can make an Erev Tchumen using pas. V'lo yetze oshir chutz l'tchum. A person shall not go from his house. And by the way, we're going to this will introduce Shitas Rabbi Meir. He will be the first one, so you might as well know ahead of time that the next few lines are Rabbi Meir's opinion. So this opinion says that v'lo yetze oshir chutz l'tchum. Chutz, by the way, Rashi points out, is lav dafka. It means to the edge of the tchum, sof, the edge of his tchum. He shall not go there for yomar shvisasi b'makoyimi. L'fishelo omru ma'arvin b'regel elolami shebo baderech v'choshcha divrei Rabbi Meir. So here you have a clear statement that Rabbi Meir is saying that makomi is useful only for an oni. This is like Rav Nachman. Rav Chisda, if you just to review, if in the case of makomi, and you can look at the chart to see this, when it comes to makomi, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, everyone says this would be effective even for an oshir. So this source is like Rav Nachman. We continue in the source, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad oni ve'echad oshir, ma'arvin b'regel, v'yetzi oshir chutz l'tchum, v'yomar teishvi sasi b'makomi. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, an oni and an oshir can do this form of ma'arvin b'regel, to go to a location and have that become their tchum Shabbos. Vizehu ikoro shel eruv. This idea of eruv beregel is the ikur. Once again, if you look at the second line from the top of this daf, you could see Rabbi Yehuda sover ikur eruv beregel, and that you have here under Rabbi Yehuda's name. Vehetiru chachomim lebalabayas leshalech eruvo biad avdoi biad benoi biad shlucho b'shvil lahokil olov. The Chachomim allow the person sitting at home to send his Eruv, send his bread, food, with an Eved, a servant, or his son, or an agent, to the place he wants to establish as his Mokom Shvisa, and this is a leniency for the Oshir. In other words, a leniency that after having said that Iker Eruv Regel, there is an allowance made for the Oshir to do it through bread as well. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'isa ba'anshei beis momol u'ba'anshei beis gurion be'aroma she'machalkin grogros v'tzimukin lanian b'shnei batzores. An incident involving the people of beis momol and beis gurion in a town called Aroma, that they were dividing grogros, or figs, and tzimukin, raisins, to the poor in the years of famine. Uboin aniye kfar shifin vaniye kfar chananyo. Now be very careful, there's a trick here. The word aniye means people financially impoverished. However, in Shabbos terms, these were really ashirim. They were ashirim not financially, but the fact that they were coming from their homes. So you have people who were impoverished, but were living in Kfar Shichin and Aniye Kfar Chananya. Umach Shichin ala Tchum, they would leave their homes in Kfar Shichin, Kfar Chananya. These places, Shichin and Chananya, were within 4,000 amos of Aroma. So what did the people from Kfar Shichin and Kfar Chananya do? They, Mach Shichin ala Tchum, they would go to the edge of their Tchum. They would go to the 2,000 amo mark and wait there for Shabbos to set in. L'mochros mashkim nuboin. And next day, on Shabbos day, they would go 4,000 amas from Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananya to Aroma to partake of these tzimukim and grogros. So this source, as we pointed out along the way, was in accordance with Rav Nachman's approach. Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisa Nami Daika, by careful reading of our Mishnah, you can also see, like Rav Nachman's approach, Dikotoni. It says, Mishi Yotza Leilech Leir Shem Arvin La. V'chziru Chavero. We should point out, when we say the Masnisa Nami Daika, it's a reference to the Mishnah that appears on Daf Nun Beis. In other words, up till now we've seen a Braisa, like Rav Nachman, and a Mishnah is a higher form of Tanaic literature. So Rav Ashi is saying even the Mishnah that we see on Daf Nun Beis bears out Rav Nachman's approach. What does it say there? Someone who was Mishi Yotza Leilech Le'irach M'sharvin Law. Person was went on a trip to a city that could be reached through an Eruv. That would mean a city that's within 4,000 amas of his starting point. The Hichziro Chavero and his friend called him back. Who Mutur Leilech, the person that started on the trip, can go all the way, can go back onto his trip. The Chol B'nei Ho'ir Asurin, Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. And the rest of the townspeople cannot go to that place. V'avinon bon, we ask, my shno ihu, my shno inhu. What's the difference between him and the rest of the people? The Omer of Huna hochebe mayaskin. Rav Huna sets up the case is kigon shiesh loy shnei botim u'shnei tchumei shabbos b'neihem. The person who is allowed to continue on the trip after he was summoned back, he is a person that has two houses, one in the original city, the starting point, and one in the point of destination. And the distance between these two houses is 4,000 amos. It's two times Tchum Shabbos. Ihu kevon denafgolei le'urcha havei le'oni. The person who we say is allowed to finish the journey, well, he started on his journey. He, therefore, has the din of an oni. The Hanoch, the rest of the townspeople in the original town, Ashirim Ninhu. Now, before we go further, we should take a note of Rashi. In Dibur Hamasel, Ihu, Kivan Denofak L'Urcha, the lower half of the wide lines under the Gemara, it says, Ihu, Kivan Denofak L'Urcha, Mishum Halicha Mamish, V'lo Mishum La'arev Baraglov, Havilei Oni. This person, he started on a real journey. He wasn't someone that was on his way to establish an Eruv by going to a certain point. So he was on a real journey. He becomes an Oni. V'yochol lomar, and as a result of that, he can say Shvisosi b'sof ha'tchum. V'isai mokom ha'nikur lo sham. He can say that my mokom shvisa was at the end of the tchum. Means 2,000 amas from his beginning point, and designate a specific place. So this would be an example of Shvisosi b'mokom ploni. There is a machlokas amoroim that says even if he didn't actually say something, even an ansadi, the awesome boy lemezal, kamando mardomi. Since we know he wants to get to his house in the second town, it's as if he said shvisasi b'malkam ploni. V'al korchuch b'dolo omar midi askinon, and it's clear that we're talking about someone that didn't actually say something. Chad dolo kotoni v'omar shvisosi malkam ploni. In this incident, the mission doesn't record that he said, "I want my shvisa to be in a certain place." V'odemi the poligra b'mer alo v'omar hareza chamor gomol shmamino b'dolo omar shvisosi malkam ploni askinon. So Rashi makes the point very clearly that we're talking about someone that didn't actually say, I want my shmisa to be in such and such a place. After all is said and done, we are seeing that this is effective only for the person that started on the journey. So we continue back in the Gemara. Alma. We're continuing in the Gemara. Actually, let's read the Gemara four lines from the bottom. Ihu kiva de nafgale l'ur chavi le'oni. The person who started on the journey is therefore considered having a din of oni. V'hanoch ashirim ninu, and the other people that don't have a house in the second town, they are ashirim. They are considered homeowners, and therefore, Alma, what do we see from here? Kol b'mokom ploni, oni in ashir lo. The idea of mokom ploni we saw in Rashi already, that this person who started on the journey, who is, we knew he was on his way to go to his house in the second town, he is the equivalent of having designated his shvisa to be at the 2,000 amma mark. But for whom is this mokom ploni method effective? Only for the traveler, oni in oshir lo. Shema mino. This is conclusive like Rav Nachman. In other words, the idea of mokom ploni being effective only for an oni and not for an oshir. And we have to emphasize, we didn't mention this enough before, but the Mishnah is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda saying this point, that it's good only for the Oni and not for the Oshir. Well, where do you see this limited to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that Mokom Ploni is effective only for an Oni, and that being Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that you will see only with regard to Rav Nachman's approach. Shma mino. So this is conclusive, that the Mishnah reads like Rav Nachman. We can just point out, if according to Rav Chisda, Rav Yehuda would have allowed Mokom Ploni for the Oshir. The Gemara continues. Masni le Rav Chiyo bar Ashi lechiyo bar Rav kamei de Rav. So we have Rav Chiyo teaching the son of Rav echod oni ve echod oshir, an equation between the two. Omar le Rav sayam bo nami halocha kerebi Yehuda. And finish off by saying that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi adds the equation between Oni and Oshir, as Rabbi Yehuda would teach it, as Rav Nachman presented it. So let's think about this. Where, under what circumstances, is an Oni and Oshir compared with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? This you will find under Rav Nachman's presentation. So if you go to the chart, you'll notice next to Rav Nachman in the Makomi column, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Makomi is effective for an Oshir as well. So you can see from here that Rav is interested in having the halacha presented like Rav Nachman teaches. Rabo bar Rav Chonon have a rogil dosi ma'ar tivno lepumbadisa. Rashi points out at the bottom, have a osi ma'ar tivno rogil dosi b'chol Shabbos ma'ar tivno lepumbadisa. Omar te shivisosi, we're at the top of Nun Beis Omen Aleph, and he would be able to travel from Artivno to Pumbadisa, which maybe is obvious to many of you, but let's say it. The distance between Artivno and Pumbadisa is such that you would need to have established an Eruve Tchumen. In other words, the distance between Artivno and Pumbadisa is more than 2,000 amos. So what would Rabo bar Rav Chanan do? He would say, Tei Shvisasi Betzinsa. That's the case of the equivalent of, Tzinsa is the name of a place, but it's the equivalent of saying Shvisasi B'mokom Ploni. To say things in other terms, Rabo bar Rav Chanan was sitting in his home on Friday. As Shabbos was approaching, knowing ahead of time that he wants to go from his home in Artivna, he wants to go to Pumbedisa on Shabbos, he would sit at his home, sitting, saying, Shvisasi b'mokom ploni. So he's basically an Oshir relying on Shvisasi b'mokom ploni. Well, if we think about that, where on the chart do you see a case of Shvisasi b'mokom ploni being effective for an Oshir? The answer to that is, you will find it only under Rav Chisda's approach. Omar le Abaye, my daitoch, what is your consideration in relying on this kind of Eruv? You are an Oshir, and you're saying Shvisasi b'mokom ploni. What are you relying on? Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Are you relying on these rules of Psak, where a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda appears, you follow Rabbi Yehuda, who is Mekil. We know Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil with regard to an Oshir. The Omar Rav Chisda, machlokas b'mokom ploni, and Rav Chisda said that there are machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda appears in the case of mokom ploni, and Rabbi Yehuda allows the Oshir to make an Eruv based on the mokom ploni designation, and it's on that that you are relying. V'ha Rav Nachman v'tanya kavosei. Well, what about Rav Nachman's approach? According to Rav Nachman's approach, Rabbi Yehuda will not allow an Oshir to say mokom ploni and rely on that. The only extent that Rav Nachman's Rabbi Yehuda will make an allowance, that's the case of Mekomi, but not mokom ploni. And not only that, there's a braisa supporting Rav Nachman. So how is that you, Rabbi Bar of Chonon, are adopting a shita that is rather weak, namely Rav Chisda's version of Rabbi Yehuda, when Rav Nachman's version of Rabbi Yehuda is supported by a braisa, and according to that, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow an Oshir to take advantage of anything beyond the Mekomi case, but not mokom ploni. Omar lei, so Rabbo Bar Rav Chanan says, Hadri bi, I retract. In other words, I realize that what I've been doing isn't the way to go. Omar Rami Bar Chamo, Hare Omru, Shovas Yesh Lo Dalanamos. We have learned that a person who physically is located in a certain place when Shabbos sets in, he has around him four amos. And beyond that, he then measures his tum of 2,000 amos. Hanosein es eruvo, yesh lo dalet amos olo. What about someone who establishes his eruv tum by placing food? Does the food acquire four amos around it, and then an additional 2,000 amos, or not? Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, let's come and have an answer. So there's a long marking here, a couple lines, to hear what Rava's suggestion is. However, the Gemara will reject this. Omar Rava Toshma. Loi omru ma'arvin b'pas elo lohokil al ha'oshir shelo yetze v'arev baraglov. We have learned that the pas, the bread or food method of making an Eruv, is a leniency for an Oshir to save him from the need of actually personally going to the spot that he wants to acquire as his Mokum Shvisa. So the source presents the use of bread as a leniency. The Amr is saying, no. If you say that the food does not acquire four amos, when we know that a person does acquire four amos, so the bread then becomes a chumra. He loses four amos by using the bread approach. Therefore, what does Rava want us to understand? Rava wants us to understand that not just Shavas gets Dalet Amos, but the Nos Sein Yisaruvo, the bread, food method, also gets 4 Amos. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. I could tell you that the bread doesn't get 4 Amos. However, bread still represents a leniency. Afilu hachi nicha lei, ki hechi delo nitrach v'nepuk. It's still quite a concession to the usher to sit at home, not trouble himself to go all the way out there and acquire a mokum shvisa by having someone else put the bread or put the food at the end of 2,000 amos. Even though it is true he doesn't get the additional 4 amos that someone would get had they actually gone there themselves. Before we close, let us just remind everyone that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.